Thanks to our sponsor, this episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast was created using Podcastle. Podcastle is truly the easiest way to start your podcast. You can record remote interviews in studio quality sound. Editing is a breeze with a super intuitive and user-friendly audio editor. You can take advantage of their powerful AI tools like Magic Desk to optimize audio levels and remove background noise with just one, with just a single click. And I also use this podcast to automatically transcribe my episodes, which not only lets me share the final transcript with all of you, my listeners, on different channels, but it even allows me to use their text editor to clean up any of the episode content I don't like, and I'll correspondingly edit the audio accordingly. Podcastle is amazing, all-in-one platform to create your podcast or any audio and video content. Give it a try at podcastle.ai. That is podcastle.ai. I am what you call an indie podcaster. If I run out of money, there's nobody backing Crazy Fitness Guy. How you can support Crazy Fitness Guy is becoming a premium subscriber to Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast. Our first plan is called Low Crazy. You'll get 100% ad-free content with zero sponsorships and zero commercials. The second plan we have is called Crazy. For $3.99 a month, you get access to the full episodes for the full library archives, early access to the shows, all episodes are ad-free, shout-outs are on the show, and you will be helping support our mission, and all the episodes are unedited. For the next plan, if you go year-long for $30 a year, they're extremely crazy. You'll get everything in the crazy plan, plus you'll get access to exclusive members' private Facebook group, and bonus ask me about anything episodes, and you get to suggest topics for the show in the Facebook group. So if you want to help support Crazy Fitness Guy, there's three plans starting at $2.99 a month, going up to $30 a year. So it's $2.99. The next plan that is up is $3.99, and then $30 a year. So thank you for all your support for the years, and I hope I'm looking forward to continue making content just for you. Thank you. To become a premium podcast subscriber, click the links in the show notes and see which plan is right for you.
Welcome to Crazy Fitness by Healthy Living Podcast, where we strive to motivate people who are on the autism spectrum to live healthy lifestyles. If you think this podcast is only for people who are autistic, then think again. Whether you are autistic or not, we have a mix of content from healthy living to everything in between that makes up a balanced and healthy life. Autism is our backbone, and we strive to support the autism community by motivating, inspiring, and educating everyone about what autism is. Please welcome your host, Jimmy Clare, who is a motivational speaker, autism advocate, author, and founder of CrazyFitnessGuide.com.
Welcome to another episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast. I'm Shreeko, Meditation with Crazy Fitness Guy. Today, if I introduce my guest, you can find me on social media at Jim Clare Speaker on Facebook and Instagram, and Jim Clare Speaker on Twitter. You can follow Crazy Fitness Guy on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Crazy Fitness Guy. And make sure you subscribe to the weekly Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Wisdom App, and Blast Radio. Gosh darn it. And once this episode goes live, you can listen down Apple, Google, Spotify, Speaker, and wherever you get your podcast. And I'm going to see if there's a last, save the rest for later. Gosh, if I didn't speak. Today, my guest is Christoph Morrow, and he is, give me a second, pull out my information. He's a veteran author, award-winning journalist that sold more than 1,200 copies of his book, The Second Son. And he lives in Vancouver, British Columbia. And today we're going to be talking about self-forgiveness. And yeah, we're going to talk about self-forgiveness. Gosh, if I didn't speak. That's what happens when you
Your mind is on everything else, on everything else. Damn. Anyway, let's welcome Matt. Hello.
Shakespeare. Hello, Jimmy. Good evening.
Shakespeare. Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, how you got started, and why you got started?
Shakespeare. Like you said, I'm Shakespeare. I'm a disabled Navy veteran. I'm an author. I won some awards as a Shakespeare, as a journalist, and as a photographer, in journalism, also, in short fiction and poetry at this couple of universities I went to. Well, not universities, colleges. And I just moved actually back to the United States. I moved to South Carolina like 2 days ago. So yeah. this is brand new. Shakespeare.
I don't know. Did it feel weird when you moved and then you come back over? And does it feel weird?
Shakespeare. Yeah, moving from especially moving from Canada. You know, there really is an entirely different personality to most of the people there. They're much more serene, relaxed. I think the healthcare.
And everybody here is wound up tight and just always angry.
trying to get from one place to another, like trying to capitalize on time as much as they can. I think that's what it is. Shakespeare.
I get that. So my first question for you is, how did you come up with the title? Pardon me, I have to look at my notes again.
The second song.
My brain is all over the place.
That's by Shakespeare. It's actually member to the plot. It would be giving it away if I told you what it meant, but essentially, it is loosely a reference to the notion that there's sort of catastrophic climate change, and you know, and all the qualities of a sun. If there were a second one, it's like it's much like the way we see that every year it's getting hotter and hotter. But anyway, the book is an allegory for generational wealth inequality and a bunch of other stuff. But it's a epic fantasy, actually.
Sounds interesting. Yeah. I'll definitely check it out. My next question for you is, how does one practice self-forgiveness?
Shakespeare. You know, I find that recognizing your worth through the love of others is a very helpful place to start. I think that a lot of people think that, you know, friendship isn't, it shouldn't be about reciprocity, but it is. Shakespeare, it ultimately is. It's supposed to be freely given, of course. Forgiveness is about discovering that, discovering peace from others. And I mean, really, that's the only way to move forward. Shakespeare. Because I have Tourette's, I ruminate on everything that from when I was a kid to now, anything that I've ever done that I feel ashamed of, Shakespeare, that I feel ashamed of. And because of the extraordinary amount of abuse I faced as a kid, I've mutilated myself a lot, and not because I want to, but because it's member to my illness, Shakespeare, because from Tourette's. So I've given myself like black eyes and bloody lips, and I've lost a lot of my hand's kind of deformed now, actually, my right hand, because I've hit it on things so much. And so, like, I've had to really sort of embrace the notion of forgiveness for yourself, because if you mean to live a life of virtue and valor, that's all really you can ask. That's really all you can ask. You do the best you can to make it right, and that's it. That's all you can do.
Now, I can agree with that, especially because, like, I did some stuff growing up in public school that I was not proud of, and let's say I metaphorically burned some of those bridges that I created with some people, and some people forgive me, and then there's some people who did not forgive me, and years later, those people still looked at me as the same way as I was back then, as they, no, I'm definitely not the same. But since they didn't stay connected with me, they didn't see any change. They kept on seeing me as the old me. And it's like, I improved a lot. I mean, I'm not perfect whatsoever, but I forgive myself for taking me many years to forgive myself. But the people who stayed with me and is seeing me to who I am today, I cherish those people because they don't look at me like the person who I was, let's say, 15 years ago or 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit more than that. Time flies.
We all evolve, I think. Yeah, Shakespeare. We all evolve, you know, and we hope at the end of our lives that we would have earned some kind of peace, knowing that we did what we could to earn the love that we have. Shakespeare.
So my next question for you is, why do you think some people have not forgiven themselves on stuff that they did, either regretting or stuff they haven't done?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
Shakespeare. I think often it's social conditioning. We're conditioned not to believe we deserve it. But I don't know a single person who's flawless. Even the people who I know who are extraordinarily kind and charitable have done things that would not flatter them at all in front of, if it were discovered, you know, if people knew about it, right? But we all share in that, I think. And so I think that we should take some solace in the notion that it's universal, that failure is universal, especially towards one another, like failure towards one another and failure to maintain harmony. An ecosystem of peace, right? Shakespeare. And Shakespeare.
I agree with that too. I also believe that, you know, I always like to be transparent with, like, I don't go into all the details of what happened years ago. I do give hints here and there, but I like to be open about it because then people say, maybe years later, somebody might dig it up later on and say, this person lied. And it's like, no, I'm not lying. And so I'm at the be 100% transparent, because I always believe in karma. As a, it'll bite you in the butt later on.
Yeah,
and no thanks.
Yeah, it's freaking out. But yeah, I think we should take notion that karma is also works in the reverse too. So if you do good things, then you will have earned good things in the same sense, same wheel of fortune.
That's true too.
Thanks to our sponsorship with Deep Stash. You're probably wondering, what the heck is Deep Stash? Well, Deep Stash allows you to learn new stuff every single day. You can become the smartest person in the room with unlimited access to 200,000 plus powerful ideas from top books, podcasts, and more. They have a generous free plan, and if you want to check them out, click the link below in the podcast descriptions. Either or will work, but definitely check them out, because if you're a daily learner like me and like to learn new stuff, I don't always have time to read 11-minute articles or 15-minute articles during the day. So with Deep Stash, I can listen to them on the go while I'm driving the car or on an airplane, etc. So go check out my friends at Deep Stash. You won't regret it.
Hi, everyone. This is JJ, the co-founder of Good Pods. If you haven't heard of it yet, Good Pods is like Goodreads or Instagram, but for podcasts. It's new, it's social, it's different, and it's growing really fast. There are more than 2 million podcasts, and we know that it is impossible to figure out what to listen to. On Good Pods, you follow your friends and podcasters to see what they like. That is the number one way to discover new shows and episodes. You can find Good Pods on the web or download the app. Happy listening.
I agree with that too, especially because like they always say, what goes around comes around, you know. And so I like that too. So karma can go both ways. But sometimes lately, it's been most likely biting me in the butt sometimes, especially with statistics. I hate statistics.
Oh, man. You don't tell me. Shakespeare, I took statistics in college, and it was the worst. I loathed it. Honestly, every second in that class, Shakespeare.
I'm literally banging my head and studying 4 days for the final. I'm like, I can't get rid of this numbers in my head. Every time I go to bed at night, I see numbers. And it's like, I see pretty numbers.
Shakespeare. Yeah.
So my next question for you is, what are some ways for people to start forgiving themselves for stuff they have done or have not done?
Well, I think we are all, I think it's member to our psyche as a human. Every human wants to contribute to their community. And in fact, it's also a quality to our fear, our anxiety, that we want to contribute to our community because we want to have some kind of worth, you know, and so we're not dispensable, right? So I think curing a lot of anxiety around forgiveness is about embracing the thing that you love to do that also contributes to the welfare of the people around you. So to do a great deal of work selfless, and to do it selflessly, and do it with affection, and do it with discipline. There's really no alternative, truly, because you find you find peace through the love of others and through the joy of the warmth and the joy of friendship is where we derive it all in the end, all our happiness.
I think one way how I forgave myself for the stuff I've done is, those people who stayed with me, I wrote a very sincere apology for all the stuff I did that they've been around, witnessed, etc. And it meant a lot to me that they just read it in front of me. I mean, they say you didn't have to do this. And I was like, no, I really had to do this. Yeah. And then because there were sometimes I had restless nights, so I kind of felt, and there's some nights where I couldn't sleep with my eyes closed, where I just my autistic brain kind of plays stuff on a replay, kind of a conveyor belt that just goes around and around, or a hamster wheel, whatever, get message crossed, and it just never ends. And so sometimes if I see something in a movie, if it's very scary to me, my brain just remember. It's not always bad things. It remembers lines and whatnot, but it was something really graphic. My brain just remembers I'll give you an example. My mom was watching this one TV show, and I caught a glimpse of it and had flashbacks and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say what was on the flashbacks and everything. It had very graphic scenes and whatnot. And it was it's a police show and whatnot. And I say, they really did not need to put these flashbacks in here. It's one thing, it was a pre-recorded video, a part of the story, but then they didn't need to put the whole flashbacks and had to see every little nook and cranny of this happening. And I was like, no thanks. But that stayed in my mind. And there was a few nights where I had really bad dreams. It's okay, next time when my mom's watching this show, I'm leaving the hell out of this room.
Yeah.
Just because my brain will play it on replay. And it's I don't need this.
Yeah, Shakespeare.
So my next question for you is, how do you practice forgiveness, and how do you practice forgiving others?
Well, I think that a lot of people would say that oftentimes whatever trespasses are committed against you are often a reflection of what they're experiencing, the turmoil within themselves. You know, the thing, the unfair or unkind things they say to you or do, those are a product of insecurity. And so trying to retain that, I find that's really hard to do, to actually practice that. And so I really feel like it has to come from within. And if you want to receive forgiveness, you have to be willing to submit it for others. I think that's the only, that's really the only way. I mean, you have to have a mentality, like you have to cradle, you know, it has to, your life and your consciousness and your habits have to live in a cradle of forgiveness. You know, Shakespeare.
I agree with that. Like, I got bullied growing up in public school for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say I've forgiven any of those bullies because I've never seen them ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, I wouldn't be where I am today and of overcoming bullying and whatnot if it wasn't for them. And I wouldn't have I would still have a somewhat of a unique story growing up, but also they kind of completed that part of my story in my life, and it kind of took where my podcast and businesses were today. So I don't think I would really have a false complete story without them. So I was like, thank you, so I kind of thank them for it, but then kind of not thank them at the same time, because mm-hmm. yes, bullying sucks, but to overcome it, mm-hmm. and it's really, 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 I mean, it really feels really great, and to be able to share with my story with other people is really great too. So it's kind of a win-win situation.
Shakespeare, I understand that sentiment. I do like, it's funny because, people often who have like been on the receiving end of horrible trauma from loved ones, people that I don't believe that forgiveness is meant to be so thorough that you still allow some of these people to remain in your life. Sometimes you really do have to sever yourself from these people, and that to make that distinction is really hard, to know whether or not like you can forgive them and then allow them to remain, you know, in your orbit, the orbit of your existence. Or if you have to, you know, but it really comes down to whether or not they take accountability and truly, make effort to change, and to sustain that. Shakespeare.
I like what you said there, because I could have some people in my life who, let's just say I had a friend who was there for me during bullying when I was in school, and they served a purpose. But years later, we kind of just drifted apart, now fall off each other, just different stages of our lives, but I kind of just let her go. I mean, kind of let the person go just because I didn't need the person anymore, and she just wasn't there for me. That person wasn't just there for me anymore. So I just quietly just left it behind, and I said that person served for a time being, and the memories will always be there. But I don't need that person in my life anymore.
Yeah. The death of a relationship feels a strange. It feels like a strange part of you dies too, right? Like some part of you perishes in the same, with that memory. But that's not true. But what it does is, I think it imparts the lesson that nothing is permanent. And so, like you just said, like you had a lovely relationship, friendship with someone who afforded you some defense in times when you needed it, but you know, if you know, a heart surgeon repairs your heart. They don't keep following you around ready to perform surgery again, right?
Yeah.
They don't do that. And so
that'd be kind of weird.
Well, yeah. And so, I mean, sometimes you have to think of people like that who you aren't wholly compatible with, but who in some way want to provide some kind of social service for you and you for them.
No offense at this, but I do disagree with one thing, though. I feel like there's some instances where there can be permanent. I have many close friends, but I have these three friends who I've been friends with for 30 years. And my other two friends that I've been friends with like 22 or 23 years. So I kind of feel like there's some circumstances where there's some things that just last long.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Forever. I would say certain circumstances, but not for everything.
Yeah.
So, because I feel like if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And these people, my best friends, I call them best friends because they know everything that know about me, like what ticks me off, what makes me laugh, etc. And they just know everything inside and out, and they can keep secrets. But
it's Shakespeare.
And so, that's where I only disagree a little bit with that. So my next question for you is, why do you think some people, if someone was listening to this podcast episode right now, what do you think people should take away from this episode about being like the most, let's say, three takeaways of what people should learn about self-forgiveness, gosh, I speak.
In my book, actually, I have a quote at the end of a paragraph that I wrote that I can't quote. I have an excerpt but it's very short. It's justice and redemption are folly, but to seek them is not. And that's an important, imperative. To remember that you will never achieve perfect justice, and you will never be wholly redeemed ever in the eyes of everyone. It's just impossible. But that does not mean you can give it up. It's the pursuit anyway. I think that meditation is an important thing to do to reduce the amount of stimulus you get just in general.
The internet can be a distraction place. It's full of distractions like social media, shopping, and so many more websites that are very distracting, just like video games and whatnot. But it's just all over the place. So much noise going on. Well, with a blocker tool like Freedom Blocker, it can block all those distraction websites that you find distracting. I block RuneScape, Facebook, Twitter, and all the social media marketing tools. Without Freedom Blocker, I wouldn't be able to run crazyfitnessguy.com because I'd be distracted all day long. But thanks to them, I'm no longer distracted. Go to visit the web link in the show notes for more information about Freedom Blocker, for more information about what they do, what they are, and whatnot. And you can, and the best part about Freedom Blocker, you can use it on all of your devices, Apple, Windows, Macs, tablets, and more. Visit them to find learn more information. I am what you call an indie podcaster. If I run out of money, there's nobody backing Crazy Fitness Guy. How you can support Crazy Fitness Guy is becoming a premium subscriber to Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast. Our first plan is called Little Crazy. You'll get 100% ad-free content with zero sponsorships and zero commercials. The second plan we have is called crazy. For $3.99 a month, you get access to the full episodes for the full library archives, early access to the shows. All episodes are ad-free, shout-outs out on the show, and you will be helping support our mission, and all the episodes are unedited. For the next plan, if you go year-long for $30 a year, they're extremely crazy. You'll get everything in the crazy plan, plus you'll get access to our exclusive members' private Facebook group, and bonus Ask Me About Anything episodes, and you get to suggest topics for the show in the Facebook group. So if you want to help support Crazy Fitness Guy, there's three plans starting at $2.99 a month, going up to $30 a year. So it's $2.99. The next plan that is up is $3.99, and then $30 a year. So thank you for all your support for the years, and I'm looking forward to continue making content just for you. Thank you. To become a premium podcast subscriber, click the links in the show notes and see which plan is right for you.
Hi, everyone. This is JJ, the co-founder of Good Pods. If you haven't heard of it yet, Good Pods is like Goodreads or Instagram, but for podcasts. It's new, it's social, it's different, and it's growing really fast. There are more than 2 million podcasts, and we know that it is impossible to figure out what to listen to. On Good Pods, you follow your friends and podcasters to see what they like. That is the number one way to discover new shows and episodes. You can find Good Pods on the web or download the app. Happy listening.
And to confide in your friends and loved ones, truly and completely.
I like that quote, especially because, you know, it reminded me of something moment that I liked. I'm trying to remember. So it reminded me of special memories with my friends and whatnot. I definitely like that quote. And then I think once I read your book, I'm definitely going to highlight that just because I really like that quote. To be honest, I do save a different kind of quotes that I find, and the good quotes always stay in my head for some reason. Like the good lines about movies and whatnot. But I just want to circle back real quick about something. You said that some of the you were saying, and I might screw up the wording here, so my apologies. You were saying how there is no, how did you put it up? There's no perfect ending or whatnot.
They will never be wholly redeemed.
Yeah. And so I wanted to ask you, just kind of like a tongue-in-cheek joke. So you mean our life is not like a soap opera or one of those fantasy Netflix films or TV shows? You mean the perfect ending like that?
Yeah, that nuance to that, right? Yeah, it seems everyone rides off and is able to chase an eternal dawn, you know, the golden sunset for summer. Yeah.
The evil villain, lack of better word, the villain of the TV show is like, I'm going to go chase after them. It's like, that's the worst possible idea.
No.
It's like, that's like saying, for an analogy, that's like saying, let's bring a knife to a gunfight. That's a good idea.
Yeah, being careful with how you apply, like, you know, morality is also, I think, is important to for the same reason. You know, like when we talk about villains, I have a character who, in the book I'm about to publish in a couple of weeks, It's volume three of this series. It's the sequel to the one I've already published, my first one. And he's a character whose father was enslaved, and his mother is someone who is part of the aristocracy. And he's sold into slavery, and he is as a kid even. And then he tries to run away, and his mother sells him to someone else, his own mother. And then he does horrific things through his life. And so when you hope in and when you see those things and him becoming an adult and all the terrible things he did, you still, in the end, you still feel a kind of bit ambivalent, because you know this was his genesis and it was so awful. And you can't help but to feel like, even if he did monstrous things, that we deserve to acknowledge that history, you know, and to submit that, I mean, just a grain of forgiveness, in the sense that, you know, that we can see the consequences, and we try to advance those onto our future circumstances so that we can prevent that from happening again to someone else.
So my next question for you is, when does your book come out?
Shakespeare. My first one, The Second Son, Volumes 1 and 2, it came out last year in Shakespeare, in February. And the Shakespeare, Volume 3, that one is actually the Indie Book Awards. It's called the Next Generation Indie Book Awards, I think, or it used to be the International Indie Book Awards. They are releasing the results of that in the next week or so. And depending on how well I did, I'm hoping that I did very well. I wanted to publish at the same time. If I ended up winning, then I thought it would be fun. So I've been holding off on publishing it. I've already finished. In fact, I'm over 14,000 words into volume four already. You know, comparison, The Hobbit's 98,000 words. So, yeah.
I can never get into the Lord of the Rings books. I got into the movies, but
yeah.
I think, like, no offense to
Tolkien,
Tolkien, but he describes some of the blades of grass like at least a thousand different ways, and I was like, got it. Can you describe the room in just like maybe three, like maybe two sentences, and I can picture it, but I don't need to go over that every single hardware detail in his.
Have you seen Game of Thrones or read it?
I have never seen the Game of Thrones, and I tried reading the Game of Thrones, and I feel like my cousins who really love like all the medieval stuff, so it's like, Jimmy, you gotta read this, it's so hyped up. And I got to like the halfway point. I got even less than halfway point on the first Game of Thrones book, and I was like, can I get my money back?
Yeah, I'm Shakespeare. Well, I was only going to say that the structure of it of my books is really similar to Game of Thrones, in that it's three different parts of the world with three different groups of characters that come together, and you learn how they come together, or rather how they're related, rather, but also the spirit of Tolkien, in that anyone, however big or small, can achieve extraordinary things.
And for my listeners, I'm not like making fun of Tolkien or the Game of Thrones. It wasn't for me. It was not for my liking. It's great that they can create such an imagination world like that, and I give them all the credit in the world. I'm just saying it's just not for me. So I have all the respect for the authors, because those people are impressive who can write so many gosh darn words. Where I know I could write, but I don't know if I can write a book.
Yeah, Shakespeare. It's a lot of work. It is. And to do it well is even harder.
Yeah. And just seeing James Patterson just magically one book a week, and like, are you sure you're not a robot, James Patterson? Like, he's like a well-oiled machine, like, doom, doom, doom.
Yeah, I think
he sleep?
I'm fairly certain that he does a, like, he has other writers that help him. They do part of the work.
Yeah, probably. So my last few questions for you is, who's your favorite podcaster and why? And feel free not to say me.
Shakespeare. Man, I don't know. I actually really like Conan O'Brien. I think he's really funny. Carl Pilkington, you know, he's part of the, I love Shakespeare. I love those guys. I love comedians. I think that comedy is like the highest form of art. It's the most complex. You have to understand, as a comedian, you have to understand every context in the same way that the dramatist does, and the romance writer and the horror writer, but you have to be able to take it one step further and reveal the irony, right? And I think that requires a very special relationship with reality that I admire a great deal. And I consider comedy itself, it's a separate art form from everything else. Like, there's writing, and then there's sculpting, there's painting, and there's all these different dancing. But comedy is its own, is a separate thing to me. Even, it's not just a genre.
I agree with that. My favorite podcast is Lewis Howes' School of Greatness. And he has like really great episodes, and I've interacted with him multiple times on social media, which was pretty cool. I mean, which is pretty cool. And I said to my followers and his followers, like, one day I'm going to be on your show. And he actually wrote back to me and said, I look forward to it. And I was like, that's a challenge. And I was like, you don't accept it. And it was funny. I had a podcaster who came on my show. He actually got to meet Lewis Howes, and it's like, and like, I didn't have we didn't have enough time in the episode to talk on how I met him, but it's like, I want to meet him so damn bad. Lewis has to be hearing this. I want to meet you so badly. And I mean in person, not just on screen. That'd be really cool. And my last question for you is, where can people follow you, learn more about who you are and what you do, and where can people find your books?
Shakespeare. Well, if you go to christophmorrow.com, that has links to everything that I have and do. But my book is on Amazon and it's on Kobo. And I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. At least from TikTok for now. I mean, where it's going, what's going to happen to that? Because that's actually like, most of my followers are on TikTok. Like, I have like 6,000 on there. So now I'm concerned. I won't have any of those anymore.
That's cool. I'll put all those in the show notes for everyone to find. I hopefully, I want to get you back on again, because I think we can talk some more about self-forgiveness, and also maybe by the time when I have you back on, maybe your fourth book will be out.
Yeah, that would be great.
Let's stay in touch.
Yeah, thank you. I treasure your trust. That would be appreciated.
And I will follow you on social media. So, and if I forget in a couple of days, don't take offense at it. It's just my brain is just math.
That's okay. That's okay.
So, I'll definitely reach back out again probably next week at some point. But just my brain is like, if I do one more math problem, I'm just gonna just like bang my head against the keyboard.
Yeah, no, I sympathize.
I'm glad that somebody else has sympathizes. So thank you, and let's stay in touch.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry.
So that's all the time we have for today. If you like it, subscribe, share, comment, let me know how we're doing. But be polite. In the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay motivated. I'll be back for another brand new episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast / Recall Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy. In the meantime, Peace.
Thanks for tuning into Crazer Fitness by Healthy Living Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us be discovered by more people all over the world. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you get notified of every new show. In the meantime, please connect with us on social media at Crazer Fitness Guy and follow Jimmy Clare at Jimmy Clare Speaker or Jimmy Clare Speak. While you wait for another brand new episode, please go check out crazyfitnessguy.com. Check out the latest blog posts, events, sales, and more. Hope to see you again next time.
Hydro Flask is the best water bottle in my opinion because it keeps my water nice, cold, and refreshing throughout the day. And yes, I do drink a lot of water throughout the day, so even though it stays colder for longer, I still like having a reusable water bottle like Hydro Flask because it just sits on my desk and reminds me, hey, you gotta drink water. And Hydro Flask, it keeps it cold longer, which makes me want to drink more water throughout the day because, you know, there's nothing worse than drinking warm water. Go to hydroflask.com and use the link in the show notes. And yes, I do get a small commission from Hydro Flask, so which also helps support the show. So tell them I sent you, use the link below, and check out hydroflask.com for more information.